Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, joined today by Homan Torres. And we're only going to be talking about one thing today, and that is the surprising announcement, or maybe not so surprising announcement, that the budget has been postponed, citing disputes amongst GNU partners over the rise in the VAT. The DA apparently behind the scenes said that they would not vote for a bill that included a 2% VAT increase, and at the last minute, it looks like the budget has been withdrawn. It looks like it'll only be proposed to Parliament in March. We shall have to see what happens. But Homan, this is, I think, well, a lot of us who have been hoping for some reforms in government have been hoping for from the GNU. And so my first question to you is, what does this mean for the DA? Is this a definitive victory? Is there something still to watch out for? And what are your thoughts on what this means for the trajectory of the party and the other GNU partners as a group?
So I think the first thing we need to do is distinguish between policy and politics. I think that's the first useful step in understanding why this is significant. This is, I think, a significant political moment. The criticism that has been building against the DA has been that it fails to stand up to the ANC within the GNU, that it capitulates on key ANC policies, and that it doesn't capitalize on the position it holds within the government. So the fact that one of the most critical components of a governing agenda in a calendar year, the budget, has now been effectively filibustered by the DA is the most significant flex of muscle that the DA has shown since joining the GNU. So politically, I think this addresses or this neutralizes much of the criticism that, especially over the recent weeks, might have been directed at the DA and at John Steenhuisen in particular. So it is politically,
including
speaking,
by me yesterday, actually.
yes, exactly, and by I think most liberals in our circles have become really frustrated with the fact that there seems to be a lot of folding on stuff that or at least squirming, at least compromising, perhaps not folding on stuff that DA voters really didn't expect the party to be weak on. So I think politically this was a crucial development. And as Michael Morris, our one colleague, noted, this is possibly the most important political development in Parliament or in the relationship between Parliament and the executive since the 80s, when P.W. Botha and F.W. de Klerk had a bit of a scuffle for who would control the National Party. And what Michael points out is that it sort of shows that politics got real again. And George Mikolakis, the chief whip of the DA, also made, I think, a very valid point, saying this shows Parliament is no longer a rubber stamp for executive policies. And I think that's right. And I think that's a benefit of the election result that we haven't really been able to see. Because if we're going to be honest, a government really only has to do two big things to survive: appoint the executive, the president, and pass a budget. If a government or a coalition or a party can do that, it probably has the power and the mandate to govern. And in the Westminster framework, they control the confidence of the House. They control the confidence of Parliament. So way back when Ramaphosa was elected as the executive, after which he then appointed his cabinet, Parliament has sort of been in a limbo state of not really being able to execute on one of the two core functions. And now with the budget, I mean, I'm giddy about the fact that we have a Parliament that could today block a budget. Whether that budget is good or bad, that in and of itself is a healthy development for our politics.
When the ANC dropped below 50%, and they needed other parties to basically push through their agenda, that was the thing I was the most excited for as a result of the election. Not because we're going to get a different president, or not because the executive was going to be completely different, but because Parliament would be able to be a center of actual debate and actual negotiation, and where things could actually be fleshed out. And as you say, Homan, this is probably one of the first and most dramatic times that we've really seen in our country's history since we became a democracy, that that Parliament is at the center of the stage, that Parliament has a will separate from that of the President and the ANC, which is I think, an extremely positive development. Although I will say, this might not, it is also important, I think, for the DA here to win the policy battle on preventing a VAT rise. I'm sure there are compromises that are going to be thrashed out. I'm sure there will be perhaps attempts to say, okay, well, we won't do a 2% increase to VAT, but we'll do a 1% increase to VAT. Obviously, that's better, but it's still, I think, important that they don't get sort of rolled behind closed doors, which seems to be where most of the bad stuff happens in the GNU.
Mm. So taking the political win is very important, and I think that buys time and scope for the DA to now approach the policy battle, because the postponement is very typical of National Treasury. I mean, it is always, if National, I don't think National Treasury has ever seen a can it didn't want to kick down a road somewhere. So we are now in the situation where it's a reprieve. It's a policy reprieve. It's not a policy victory. Political victory, policy reprieve. I think that's how we should see it. And from what I hear, there were significant DA successes in the budget, barring the VAT question. So if the DA can maintain most of that, perhaps even negotiate on some of those points so as to not lose the political fight, having taken a firm stand on VAT, that's probably where the negotiation should go between now and the 12th of March. It won't be nice, because I think some of those concessions that Minister Gwanangwana made to the DA were solid and good, and I hope most of them can stay. But it might be, if the DA folds on that, I think the political moment will have been wasted. The DA has a unique chance to position itself here as the party on the side of hardworking, honest, decent South African taxpayers, a label all parties want and a label no party, I think, has successfully ever really claimed. Now, in terms of the ANC, what does the ANC make of this? I think it is a humiliation. There is no way to get around the fact that the ANC wanted one thing and they didn't get it. They had to fold.
And you can see that this is a dynamic the MK and EFF have been playing into in a big way. So the MK and EFF, as far as I can work out, are not opposition parties in the sense that they sort of have an alternative platform really and are trying to kind of steer the debate in a certain ways and criticize the government. They play a sort of politics where they try to tear the ANC apart from the inside. And they do that by, in every single one of their speeches, they talk about the GNU being DA-led. They talk about the ANC being the puppet of white monopoly capital. They sort of, they've managed to kind of get inside the ANC's heads and it seems make them think that they are selling themselves out, that they are and I think that that's the angle they're going to be pushing on this one. They're going to try and get the ANC to push back against the concessions made to the DA here, precisely because of that humiliation aspect. It's not necessarily that there's a specific policy thing here. It's that there's almost like a pride element to all of this politics, which is I think concerning.
And but what I do think is interesting is that this morning, in the build-up to what was supposed to be the budgetary session in Parliament, the EFF's, I think it was their Secretary General or Treasury General, I'm not exactly sure what her title is, it wasn't Veronica Mente, made the position of the EFF clear that a hike in VAT is unacceptable, that VAT was hiked from 14% to 15% under Malusi Kigaba, and that was supposed to be temporary, and that has now become, you know, the lay of the land. So the EFF will have to flip-flop on this, but if there's one thing we know about the EFF is that they have no problem flip-flopping.
But that also reveals the toxic politics of this, which is that if you're trying to increase VAT, and this is also, I think, in a sense that the DA has probably saved the ANC from inflicting another wound on itself. Increasing VAT is probably the most unpopular thing you could do in the country.
Yeah. And I think it can work. VAT increases can work if it's balanced out like in Australia, where John Howard introduced the sales tax in Australia, but it went with other tax reductions. And I think there's merit to that. After all, VAT is not a tax on wealth creation. It is a tax that takes into account spending rather than income. So if you tax spending rather than income, you incentivize income. So there's a sort of a wealth creation element for saying that should be high and other taxes should be low. So there's scope for debate here. But in the black and white situation of should VAT be higher or lower without any further considerations, the fact that the ANC wanted to go higher, the fact that the DA said no and consequentially said no, now lands the ANC in a difficult position. It hates losing face. We know that. It possibly, Ramaphosa possibly signed the Expropriation Act purely to save face. So there is now a concern as to what will the ANC's recovery hit back from this be? And if I were the DA, I'd be worried about that. I'd be very concerned and very, you know, aware of where the ANC might come back, because they will try to come back from this. They don't like humiliation or being humbled. But in terms of the GNU, I think this will overall reflect well. The ANC recovered, in my data analysis, post-election by being seen to be constructive in a multi-party way, by Ramaphosa being seen as a conciliatory leader with a sort of an appreciation of the voters' judgment. So if the ANC
That's one of the reasons they chose the name Government of National Unity, right? Is emphasizing that aspect.
Exactly. So if the ANC can play this, as of course we're happy with this, this is what the ANC is willing to do. We're willing to compromise. We're willing to go with the best ideas wherever they come from. And we are proud to serve the people of South Africa who elected this GNU in their messaging. There is a way for the ANC to save face from this, but we must remember that there isn't just a single ANC. If it was just the sort of David Makura type thinking in the ANC, that's perhaps the obvious path they want to go. But then you have the Lesufiites who might go, you know, we've been touched in our studio here, we need to show strength, we need to hit back. But for the GNU generally, I think we will see positive reflection on this. This, I don't think, will go down as a GNU failure. The ANC doesn't want that to be the case. The DA doesn't want that to be the case. So we've got two main parties wanting to play this off as a positive. And I think it is the type of compromise that South Africans will expect from multi-party governance. Yes. So what it means for the DA, massive political opportunity. What it means for the ANC, you know, there's a risk now, and they should be look out for some policy footwork from the ANC to regain the front foot. What it means for the GNU, and broadly positive.
Right, and I think exactly what's really been shown here is that when the chips were down and the ANC had the choice between keeping the GNU alive by folding on VAT or basically blowing the country up, they chose to keep the GNU alive. And that's a positive sign.
It is.
Because one of the fears has been from so many, and this has been one of the reasons I think the DA has not been able to negotiate particularly well up till now in the GNU, is the fear that if they didn't play ball with the ANC would be like, well, we're going to blow the whole thing up. MK, come on in, do whatever you want. We're going to go full radicalism, no brakes on this train. We're all going to hell in a handbasket. And I think we've seen now that Ramaphosa at least does not want to do that.
Yes, his legacy is at stake. Like any second-term president, he's legacy shopping. And with the G20 now in November, it would be an immense embarrassment for the ANC and for Ramaphosa personally if his government were to collapse over something like this. Because whether you like it or not, the DA's inclusion in the GNU opened credibility considerations overseas that an ANC alone or an ANC EFF MK government just never could entertain. Yes. Whether there's a nuanced grasp of why that is, we don't have to go into that. But the fact that the DA is seen broadly as competent and now in this government helped that legacy building activity of Ramaphosa being a great leader, a great statesman. So it's, I think, a historic moment. It's by no means a settled outcome. But in politics, sometimes the disruption is the thing that's been tough in coming. The disruption is the thing that allows for adjustment and reassessment of some base assumptions.
And at the end of the day, the budget is in many ways the most important thing that government does. How it spends the public money is absolutely crucial to the functioning of this country. So you know, there's lots of interesting stuff we're going to see, I think, in that budget, and it will give us a good sense in a way that, you know, Sona, I was a very big critic of. It was very depressing to me as someone who desperately wants reform in this country. And I'm hopeful that the budget will at least suggest we're moving in the right direction. So my final question to you, Herman, is this the first step on the path, or is this another step on the path to actually seeing a prosperous South Africa where we begin to eliminate things like poverty and mass unemployment?
It could be. It's difficult to say yes or no, but it certainly could be. It is perhaps the clearest moment where the political democratic choices of voters have truly made a difference in how this country is governed. And if more South Africans see that, my goodness, I can vote against higher taxes, they might do that. This is, I think, good for the morale of South Africa, in the sense that it is perhaps a delayed consequence of the humbling that the ANC faced at the ballot box. And it might just inspire other people to say, oh, I can vote, and see a real change in how things otherwise would have been.
That's a really good point. When you speak to a lot of people who don't vote, they'll say, I voted before, I've been voting for years, and nothing changes. Well, something changed. We didn't get hit with yet ever greater taxes. At least, I hope we haven't. We shall have to see what comes of this. But anyway, thank you very much, Herman, for being on the show today. Great as always. And we shall see you tomorrow on the Daily Friend Show. We'll obviously be very closely following exactly what happens in the fallout from this, because, as you say, Herman, this is a decisive moment in our country's politics. Cheers, everyone. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.